the New Testament, a book of John, John chapter number 8. While you're turning there, let me just give you an update on our son in case you haven't heard. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone that prayed and called other people and had them praying as well. The other day at about 12:30, my son was involved in a car accident. He was in his cruiser. And he was in a car accident. And at first we got the call saying everything was going to be okay. And they're just going to just take him to the local hospital. But then very quickly assessed the situation. And they believed his spleen had ruptured. And they called for a helicopter to lifeline him up to I forget the name of the hospital. VCU, yeah, up in Richmond, wherever that is. It turned out his spleen was not ruptured. We thanked the Lord for that. But he has a level one, almost a level two concussion. And so he's on bed rest days till Wednesday where he gets reevaluated. And we just really thank the Lord. It could have been a lot worse than it was. The doctor on staff at said that he was spared further damage because of his police cruiser had a brush guard on the front of it. And her exact words was, "I don't know why more police cars don't have brush guards on them. Even if they're in the city, they protect lives, they save lives." And then because he had his bulletproof vest on and protected him from further damage to his chest. So thank you so very much. It was, at first we were concerned, but not that concerned. But then when they talk about flying you off in a helicopter, that's a different concern. And just being miles away and getting spotty information, it's just a little scary. But you've been through similar things as well in your life. And I thank you for praying for our son. Continue to pray for his recovery. His number one thought was this: oh no, they're going to fire me now. But his sheriff came by and the major came by and said, "Listen, you're not fired. Don't worry, we're not fired. You're too good of a sheriff deputy to be fired." And so we thank the Lord for that. So thank you for your prayers. At this time, we're going to open up the service preaching time with a special video.
On July 4, 1776, a small group of men, lawyers, soldiers, common people, representing the American colonies, declared their independence from England. They wanted freedom. Freedom to live, freedom to govern, freedom to worship. It was not easy. Many years of struggle lay ahead. Many would die for the cause, so that future generations would enjoy the freedom we have today. A small group of 12 men, fishermen, tax collectors, common people, declared their independence as disciples of Jesus Christ. They wanted freedom. Freedom from oppression. Freedom from sin. Freedom from death. It was not easy. Many years of struggle lay ahead. Many would die for the cause, so that future generations would know the freedom we have today. So let us celebrate our freedom. The freedom of our country. The freedom from sin and death through Jesus Christ.
Number 8, John chapter number 8, we'll read verses 30 down through verse number 36. As we think on this thought, what is freedom? John 8, beginning in verse number 30 down through verse number 36. The Bible says that he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him,
We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house soever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our knee and our heart before you this morning, Father, we're asking, Lord, that you would help us to understand this thought, what is freedom? Oh, Father, I pray that you would help the lost to understand, Father, that they have no freedom apart from Jesus Christ, because the Word teaches us that our freedom and liberty comes through Christ. Father, for the Christians that are here, Father, I pray you'll help them understand, Father, this thought, that because they are free, because they have liberty, Father, they have an obligation, Father, to present this freedom and this liberty to other people all around them, Father, that they might be saved and come out of the bondage of sin and Satan and the world and live a life, Father, pleasing to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for America. We pray for America. Lord, I pray that your blessings will be upon America as we turn towards you, Father, and as righteousness would exalt a nation, Father, that you might be pleased. So, Father, I pray your blessings upon the preaching of thy word this morning, for it's in Jesus' most precious and powerful name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, our world is concerned about freedom, but very few people ask this question, what is really freedom? Contained in these scriptures that we just read here in John chapter number 8, beginning in verse 30 down through verse number 36, we have what the Bible says. We have what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about truly what freedom is. And here we see in these passages that the people were confused really about what freedom really was. Imagine the Jewish people saying to Jesus Christ, we have never been in bondage to any man. Anybody that has a cursory knowledge of the Old Testament would know that the nation of Israel constantly and consistently had found themselves in bondage because of their disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when Jesus spoke these words to those Pharisees and those that were gathered there that day, you would have to know this, that they were in bondage to the nation of Rome. And many people are just like the Jews. They don't understand really what freedom is. And if you want to enjoy freedom, you have to understand Jesus Christ's teaching on this matter of freedom contained here in John chapter number 8. And this morning we'll notice three things, the Lord's teaching on freedom. Notice first of all, in verse number 36, we find God's intention for man is freedom. God's intention for man is freedom. Many people think that freedom is simply this, the absence of restraint. But if that's all freedom was, the absence of restraint, that would lead to anarchy. I'm reminded of the book of Judges, where the Bible says that every man did that which he desired in his own eyes. And so we find that led to anarchy, and it led to all kinds of problems. Listen, our world is already filled with all kinds of chaos and troubles and tribulation. People do right now whatever they want to, irregardless of what God has to say. They have no sense of morals. They have no sense of right and wrong. They have no sense of righteousness. They have no sense of the truth of God's word. And when a nation and a people group get like that, my friend, it will lead a nation into disaster. Here's a good definition of freedom. Freedom is the privilege and power to become all that Jesus Christ wants you to be. Real freedom is the opportunity to fulfill your potential to the glory of God Himself. I don't know about you, my friends, but I like the idea of having the privilege and power to become all that God would want me to be. I like the idea that real freedom is the opportunity that I can take to fulfill the potential so that I might give God more honor and more glory with my life. You see, people are made in the image of God according to Genesis 1 and verses 26 and verse number 27. The Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. You see, God made man free. Guess why? Because God is free. And when God put man and woman in the garden after he created them, he gave them that freedom that was governed by regulations and protected by laws that God had set. You see, Adam and Eve were free to work for God. They were free to walk for God. And they were not free to disobey God. They were not free to do their own thing. God gave them a specific set of instructions that he expected them to obey. You see, the emphasis of the Bible literally is on freedom. And the events of the nation of Israel speak about this freedom. The freedom could be seen in the Exodus when God set them free from the land of Egypt. And whenever Israel sinned, guess what happened? Bondage came. And whenever Israel was obedient to God, guess what? That when they obeyed God, they had freedom and liberty in God himself. The cross speaks about freedom. Freedom from the power of Satan. Freedom from the power of sin in our life. Freedom from the power and enslavement that sin and Satan will bring to your lives. Heaven and this new city of Jerusalem speak about freedom. Every word in the New Testament pointing to Jesus Christ speaks of nothing than the freedom and liberty that we can have in and through Jesus Christ. This true freedom, again, only begins with our salvation. And Jesus said in John 8 and verse number 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That word "committeth" literally means this. It means in the habit of practicing sin. So we find that Jesus said, whoever is in the habit of practicing sin is the servant of sin. So in other words, when a person continually and on a regular basis disobeys God, they do not truly have freedom in their life, but they have bondage of the very worst kind to sin, Satan, and the world. But when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have freedom. Freedom from the guilt of sin. Freedom from the punishment of sin. And freedom from the judgment of sin. My friend, when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, our freedom truly is that we can walk in the Spirit of the Lord to overcome sin. We have the freedom to be that all that God wants you to be. We have the freedom to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's my desire as your pastor, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, not only do we see God's intention for man is freedom. God desires for you and I to be not only physically free, but spiritually free. But then notice something else this morning. We find God's instruction for freedom is contained in the truth. God's instruction for freedom is contained in the truth. You see, there's two forces at work in our world today. And this force, first of all, comes from heaven. And that's the power of God that works through the truth of the Word of God. You see, God uses truth to bring you into freedom. First of all, by salvation. The freedom that we can have by having our sins confessed and becoming a born-again child of God. Then after we are saved, the freedom and liberty that we have to become separate from this world and set apart unto Him. Which leads us to the third freedom. The freedom that you and I have to serve Him to the best of our ability through Jesus Christ and the power and enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. And once we're saved and once we're separated, once we're serving Him, it leads us to another freedom, the freedom that you and I have to go out and soul win and win other people to Jesus Christ. You realize that's the freedom that we have here in America? That physical freedom rolls over into the spiritual freedom because of liberty that we have deep within our soul. You see, two forces are at work. One is from God, and it comes from heaven. The second force is from the devil, and he works through lies. You know, Jesus said in John 8, in verse number 44, that Satan is a liar. And he uses lies to bring people into bondages, and a bondage that will always lead to destruction. You know, sometimes people get put into bondage or get thrown into jail here in the United States, and perhaps they have done something wrong and they get thrown into jail, and we find that perhaps later on, after a short period of time, they could get on probation, or after their sentence is complete, they can get out and begin to enjoy physical freedom and physical liberty again. I want you to understand this: without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not only bound, so to speak, physically, but you're bound spiritually. And that bondage will always lead to destruction, death, hell, without Jesus Christ. You see, there is such a thing as false freedom, and it's dangerous. False freedom is dangerous because of where it comes from. Take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 2. 2 Peter, chapter number 2, we'll read verses 1 through verse number 3. We find that false freedom is dangerous because where it comes from in 2 Peter 2 and verses 1 through verse number 3. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse number 1, but there were false prophets also, get this words, among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. Verse number 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment is now of a long time, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I want you to understand in verse number 1, it teaches us this one thing. Whenever you find something genuine, you also find something counterfeit. Notice the words it said in verse number 1, there is false teachers among you, and there are also false prophets among you. See, these teachers claim really to be of the Lord, and they claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but in actual reality, they twist the Word of God, and they misapply the Word of God so that they lead people into bondage and not into salvation or freedom. Look at verse number 3. Notice the wording there. It says, with feigned words they make merchandise of you. So in other words, they're out really just to make money. And notice that's their statement. Feigned word means words of their own devising. Swelling words. It means flattering words. So these false teachers and these false prophets will tell you what you want to hear in order that they might make merchandise of you. And literally, that word merchandise literally speaks about those false prophets and those false teachers as they deal with the souls of men as merchants do out in the marketplace. Have you ever been to a flea market? You walk down through the flea market, particularly in maybe a city area, and they're kind of aggressive. They say, hey, hey, come over here, come over here, come over here. What they're doing, they're dealing with your heart and your mind and your soul. And so we find that these false teachers and false prophets begin to deal with your heart and your mind and your soul. Then they begin to draw them out from where they are, and then their ultimate goal was to deliver them over to Satan and putting them in bondage, no longer enjoying freedom. These false teachers use our vocabulary. You'll hear when they come knock on your door. Or maybe it's your worker that works next door to you in the cubicle across the way. You'll hear them use such words as, oh yes, I believe in salvation. They use words like, oh yes, I believe that we are freed from the bondage of sin. They use all kinds of different words about baptism of the Spirit. But really, they use the same words, but their words have different meaning. And you and I need to be cautious and understand that false freedom is dangerous because where it comes from, and oftentimes it comes from within, those who are in the local New Testament church or those who are close to people, family, acquaintances, co-workers that are close to them. And we find that false freedom is dangerous because where it comes from. But then notice something else. False freedom is dangerous because of what it offers. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what does false freedom offer? Well, sometimes it offers you the freedom to live as you please without any responsibility. I think for a minute the prodigal son, he wanted his freedom, didn't he? But he didn't want any responsibility. And you can't have true freedom without responsibility. You and I are free today, but we also have to be responsible for the freedom that you have been given. Unlearned freedom is dangerous, and it's a very destructive thing. That was Satan's lie to Eve in the garden. Basically, he said this, go ahead. Why do you have to listen to God? Exercise your own freedom. Be like God. Go ahead. Surely you shall not die. You can get away with it. Just exercise your freedom. Freedom to live as you please without responsibility is one aspect of false freedom. But then false freedom also tells us this, that you can live any way you please without accountability. You know, there are those who would teach us that there'll not be any judgment coming. When you die, you just die. After all, they might say something like this, isn't Pastor Dave, isn't God a God of love? And I say, yes, he is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice and a God of righteousness. Sometimes they might come back to me and they say, but aren't we under grace and not under law, so we can live any way that we desire to? You know, when Paul answered that question in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, this is what he said. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he uses these favorite words, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And my friend, we should not and could not. Freedom to live as you please without accountability. There's a third thing that false freedom brings, and that's the freedom to live as you please without any consequences. You see, that's what Satan will tell you. Listen, you have liberty, man. You're born in America. Even if you're born again spiritually, a born again child of God, Satan will say, you have liberty to do that. Go ahead and just do that thing over there. You have liberty to do that. Understand this, that the Bible teaches that sin always has its consequences. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. And Numbers 32, 23, in the last part of the verse, we find these words, be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs 28 and verse number 13, the Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Understand this morning that there is a false freedom. But I noticed something else this morning, that truth has been given to you and I in three different ways. First of all, it's been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I entitled this Truth Declared. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you know Jesus Christ, my friend, you know truth. And that's why Christ could claim here in John 8 and verse number 38, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with my Father. We find that Jesus is simply saying, listen, I and my Father am one. I can have liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. So we see that freedom in Jesus Christ is given by the Lord himself. But then notice something else. It's also given to us in the Word. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, it's the Word of God that makes us free. That's what verse 31 and verse 32 of John chapter 8 says. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we find that God's word is really what makes us free. It also exposes the devil's lies in verse number 44. And Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh on his own. So we see the truth declared. We find the truth determined. But then we find the Spirit is truth as well. According to 1 John 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says the Spirit is truth. As a matter of fact, we see the truth disseminated by the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that he gave us the word of God. And John 16 verse number 13, he teaches us the truth. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to teach us truth. And also it is to give us liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, Paul writes and says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Thank God for that. God's intention for man, number one, is freedom. But then God's instruction for freedom is truth. Then notice lastly, God's indication of truth is Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus wouldn't make us free unless he was free himself. And when Jesus came to earth, he came to a nation that was under political bondage. But they were also under spiritual bondage. They're also under religious bondage. And the Pharisees had added to men's tradition, making men under bondage more than what God's word had to say. The people were shackled under the bondage of legalism. They were caught up trying to keep all the laws and all that the Pharisees added to the law. But Jesus was free from legalism. He was free from the traditions of men. He was free from fear because he knew the power of God. And he came as a master to free the spiritual slaves. Here's the truth. The better that you know Christ, the more freedom that you will enjoy in your life. You know, our responsibility is to know him. In verse number 32, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth." And when we think of that word "know," it gives us the idea of having an intimate fellowship, an intimate relationship with him. Look at verse 31. "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue having this intimate fellowship, relationship with me," he says, "then are ye my disciples." It's our responsibility to know him. It's our responsibility to love him. In verse number 42, notice what Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came forth from God. Neither came I out of myself, but he sent me." So Jesus simply saying that if you want to enjoy freedom in Christ, you have a responsibility to know him. You must love him. And then lastly, in verse 51, we have to obey him. Notice verse 51. Jesus again says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." A responsibility to obey him in what? Well, verse 24 sums it up. "And he said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus was saying that we must obey him in this matter of freedom and liberty in and through Jesus Christ. It's the Word that sets us free. It's Christ that sets us free. It's the Holy Spirit that works in our hearts and our lives to move us to receive this freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. Freedom is a life controlled by truth and motivated by love. Bondage is controlled by lies and motivated by selfishness. True freedom is really a result of living relationship with Jesus Christ, a vibrant, living relationship with God the Father and his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. That means walking with him on a daily basis. That means talking with him on a regular basis. And it also means learning from him on a regular basis and obeying what he tells you to do. If you're here this morning and you never have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would appeal to you this morning to do just that. Be released from the bondage of Satan and sin in the world and enjoy the liberty and freedom we have in Christ Jesus. True freedom only comes from the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you say, "Well, Pastor Dave, I already have trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior," let me ask you this question. Have you yielded yourself to him? Sin's freedom is really bondage. But bondage to Jesus Christ is true freedom. The more freedom you desire comes by yielding yourself to him, saying, "Okay, God, Here I am. I'm giving myself to you. If you want your life to be controlled by truth and motivated by love, Jesus said in John 18, in verse 32, if the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Understand, God's intention for man is freedom. God's instruction for freedom is truth. And lastly, God's indication of truth is Jesus Christ. Our freedom only comes because of what Christ has done for us. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for the preciousness of your word. Thank you, Father, for these truths that are outlined here in John chapter number 8 for us. Oh, Father, we see that your intention for man is freedom. You desire us to be free, not only physically free, Father, but spiritually free. Your instructions for our freedom is contained in your word and is shown forth by you, your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and lastly, the Word of God. And the indication of truth is Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray you'll help us to understand these simple truths today so that, Father, that we'll be not in bondage to any man, but we'll be in bondage to Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you'll speak to those hearts that are here this morning that are lost, that don't know Christ as their Savior. Father, may they be saved. And we love you and thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're in spiritual bondage, and oftentimes it seems in physical bondage as well. Maybe you need to come. Let us take the Bible and show you how that you might be saved. The Bible says our freedom comes from Christ and our life in and through Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Dave, I've been saved. I have trusted in Christ as my personal Savior. The truth of the matter is I've been living in bondage to the world even though I'm a child of God. Maybe God has challenged your heart this morning. Maybe there's something that you need to take care of with Him. Maybe you need to take care of something with somebody else so you can have renewed and restored fellowship with God and His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever the case may be, would you come? Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's freedom, liberty, Jesus Christ. While these are praying, what about you? I'm thankful for the physical freedoms we enjoy here because of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm more thankful for the spiritual freedom, the soul liberty that we have. If you'd like to know Christ as your Savior, would you just step out of the pew? If no one else comes, we'll close after this. But what about you? God bless you. May look this way. Well, it's a real joy to have you back in the house of the Lord. We had a wonderful last week at Vacation Bible School. Over 20 souls saved at last count, and we're thankful for that. And that includes a reassurance of a faith. So we're excited what the Lord's going to do. And so you enjoy the freedom and liberty we have here in America. And enjoy yourself this coming weekend and Monday and Tuesday if you have off and things that you do. But remember this. It's more than just physical freedom. It's the spiritual freedom and liberty we have in and through Christ. Amen. So we'll see you back tonight at 6:30. And we're excited what the Lord is going to do over the next coming days. And so we're going to have a baptism next Sunday at 9 o'clock. On July the 9th. And so if you know someone who hasn't that's been saved but not scripturally baptized, you can give it to the church office, and we will make arrangements for them to do that. And we'll also have our regular baptism in August as well, so if they can't make it. So let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, and as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Dan, would you pray for us, please, sir?